I believe the Lord will have me to start off this year by keeping our first love, all right? And one of the things about New Year, you know, for Chinese New Year and all that, is about throwing out old stuff first. In order to have renovation, you have to throw out the old stuff first, okay? And so today we're going to be looking at something that I believe the Lord will have us to take note of. Let's turn to the book of Revelation, all right? Revelation chapter 2, let's stand, okay? It will just be one verse, but we read together. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4. Okay, Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4. We stand in reverence to God's word. All right, for the children as well, let's focus. Okay, we do want to be punctual and all that. So for this year, we're going to be changing things. Let's be focused. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we begin this new year, we pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to us in a special way through your precious word. We thank you for visitors and friends that have come. We thank you for members who are continuously being faithful. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will continue to work in our hearts this year, that we might truly follow you as our Savior, our Lord, and with all our heart. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our God, in this verse, the first verse that has come, Psalm 103, verse 8, the Bible says the Lord is plentiful, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. According to this passage and many, many other Bible verses, God is slow to anger. He is plenteous in mercy. In other words, he gives mercy. Now, what is mercy? The mercy in the Old Testament has the idea of grace, okay? In the New Testament, there's mercy and there's grace. Mercy simply is God not giving to us what we deserve. That's mercy. In other words, I deserve to go to hell. God saved me by his mercy. He don't give to us what we deserve, but grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. That's eternal life with him, okay? So we thank God for that, but God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And we see this in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, where, remember the story of Jonah? Okay, do you know why Jonah didn't want to go and preach to the city of Nineveh? Now, there was this city of Nineveh who was killing people, all right, and God was going to judge this nation. But God also sent Jonah to go and preach to this nation. But Jonah didn't want to go and preach to this nation. You know why? Because Jonah knows that if God sent him to preach to this nation will repent and turn back to God. Why? Because in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish. In other words, God, I didn't want to go there because I knew that thou art a gracious God. A merciful God, slow to anger and of great kindness. Our God is of great kindness. You know, if you're a Christian, did you know your God is of great kindness? That's what the Bible says. And isn't he true to us all the time? He's so true. He is of great kindness. Do you know why Jonah didn't want to go and preach to the people of Nineveh? Because the Assyrians, Nineveh is the capital of Assyria, the Assyrian army have murdered his family. In the history of Israel, Jonah was a prophet and he refused to go there because God, how in the world can you love a people who killed my family? And that's why Jonah says, I don't want to go and preach because I know God, if I go and preach, you are going to save them. And he did. You see, God can save anyone who is willing to turn back to him. Our God is so great. He's such a great God of goodness, of mercy and grace. And we need to remember that for the new year. But you know what? Our God is always slow to anger. He's long-suffering. In our English Bible, it's called long-suffering. That was translated by William Tyndale from the Greek because truly God is long-suffering. Okay? Long-suffering has to do with dealing with people. Sometimes you deal with people, we can get very impatient. But you know what? God is long-suffering. And the Bible says God is always slow to anger. In the passage we just read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, it's a church at Ephesus. The Bible actually says, let me just read, okay? If you're there, you can keep your finger in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. I'll be reading through there. The Bible says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Unto the angel of the church. The word angel means to the messenger. The word angel means angelos, which means the messenger, okay, of the church of Ephesus, write to the pastor, basically. Is God's angel in the church. To the pastor, I want you to write this. This thing saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his hands and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Oh, Brother Johnny, Revelation is very hard to understand. What is a seven stars and seven golden candlesticks? One principle of Bible interpretation, the Bible interprets itself. Okay? Just look up one verse to verse 20 in chapter 1. Okay? The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my hand, right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Understand? So straightforward, right? The Bible interprets itself. The seven stars are the pastors in God's hands. And the seven candlesticks are the seven churches that God is writing chapter 2 and 3 to. So the first church Jesus writes to is this. He said this, I know thy works. This church had works. I know thy works and thy labor. They work hard for the Lord. The word labor in the Greek means they work very hard to serve God. Okay? And thy patience, they endured hardness as they served Jesus Christ. And how thou canst not bear them that are evil. In other words, they fought against sin. A church that doesn't fight against sin is not consistent with the character of our God. Jesus Christ died for sin. And as God's people, we cannot not say anything when there is sin. Does that make sense? And we need. And this church was a church that fought against sin. They cannot bear them. In fact, we will not tolerate that. And then, thou hast tried them, we say they are apostles and are not. Because during those times, there are many people who claimed, oh, I'm part of the Jesus apostles, I'm coming to preach to you. And the church at Ephesus was very careful because they remember in Acts chapter 20, Paul told them, when I leave, false wolves are going to come into your church and you have to be careful. That's why for 3 years, Paul says, night and day I warn you that there will be wolves in sheep's clothing coming to deceive the people. And so the church at Ephesus took that seriously. And the Bible said, they identified them and tried them and tested them that say that they are apostles and they are not and found them liars. They identified false teachers and they kicked them out. You know, there are a lot of false teachings in different churches today. The only way you can be saved from false teaching is to stay in the Word, to stay in the truth. Not just in what your pastor tells you, but you need to be studying it for yourself to make sure what I say agree with this. And if I say agree with this, what do we need to do? We need to obey God. If what I say don't agree with this, then obey God, don't obey me, all right? That's what and the church at Ephesus did that. And the Bible also says in verse 3, and has borne and has patient and for my name's sake have labored and have not fainted. They pressed on. How many of you remember the watch night message? Watch night message. Someone's smiling at me. Oh, I forgot. I remember I talked about the church at Philadelphia. Okay, they were very weak, but Jesus says, pressed on. Hold fast to the things that you have learned. The church at Ephesus was a church who was fervent. They were on fire for God. I want us to think of two thoughts on this particular church. Number one, God recognizes the words in the works in the local church. God does recognize, because that's what God says. God is a very fair God. Whatever you try to do for God, God registers. Amen? Little is much when God is in it. The little that you do for God, or the much that you do for God, God will not forget. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews 6 verse 10, our God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. God doesn't forget whatever, as a believer in Christ, no matter how weak your sacrifices of service, say, God, I've done this. You know, I'm so thankful for many people who work in the background and not the foreground and everywhere around for the Lord. You know, God recognizes all this. As a young believer in Christ, you may think, I don't do much. You know what? I believe a Christian who is faithful in washing the toilet will receive more blessing than a pastor who preaches if I'm not faithful. So I want to thank God for everyone who of last year, Brother Henry is arranging that to make sure the church is clean. I know every Saturday you will spend time coming a few hours just to make sure the church is clean. Jesus remembers that. Amen. No work is too small for God. And we thank God for everyone who, I mean, when you wash the toilet, sometimes you got to put your hand inside the toilet bowl. And you know, Jesus remembers that. No work is too small for God. God remembers the works that we do. Works in the life of a believer is a clear indication and an outcome of our salvation. I think in our church, we have to be very clear, and we know, and we've said it many, many times, we don't work to receive salvation. We work for Jesus Christ because we are already a Christian. Does it make sense? Because if you choose to work for your salvation, you're on your way to hell. Because no one, for it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You don't work for a gift, okay? Qijing Jingrui, his birthday was Friday, right? Do you have to work for the gift, present? You don't have to work for presents. You're going to have the present later, okay, after I pass it to you. But please remind me, because, but you know, you don't have to work for a gift. Do you realize that all you need to do is to turn away from your sin and receive Christ as your Savior? Of course, there's a lot more involved, but it's just as simple as that. And that's why some people say, well, you mean you can do all these wrong things, just believe in Jesus, go to heaven? Yeah. And may I say this? It's not because salvation is cheap. Salvation is very expensive. It costs the Son of God. Amen? And Christians, when we receive that gift, we're not just receiving the gift. We should receive the gift with tears in our eyes, thanking God that He would love a sinner like us. Okay? And so, this verse tells us why works is in the belief is a clear indication. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect? Let me qualify. There are some people who read this and say, oh, then works must be for salvation. No. Paul is very clear in the book of Romans, Ephesians, for by grace you are saved through faith. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God saves you from inside. Okay? So the time you become a Christian, you only have saving faith. Nothing else. Saving faith. But God wants that faith to become active faith. Okay? So when a Christian who says they are Christian begin to serve God, get baptized, begin to give, begin to love people, the works that they do matures their faith. Does it make sense? And you grow as a Christian. That's what James chapter 2 is trying to tell. James was talking to Jewish believers who say, I'm a Christian, and so I'm on my way to heaven, I do what I want. James says, that's not what Jesus taught us. Because if you have faith but don't have works, it doesn't work. If I say I'm a pastor but I don't preach, I don't do anything, I just sit down and watch TV the whole day, am I a pastor? You can call me a pastor, but am I really a pastor? No. I'm still a pastor, yeah. But if I don't do any of the works, and then it's like, yeah, a bad pastor, yeah. Not just a bad pastor, I'll be a pastor that God will kick out one of these days. Isn't that true? If you say you're a student, do you study? Oh, I convict a lot of children here. No, I never study. I play games all the time. You're a student, you will study, right? If you're a soldier, you should know how to operate the rifle, right? So why is it so much for us to think that if we say we're a Christian, that there needs to be evidence to show? Now, faith in Christ justifies us before God, but faith by works justifies us before men. Men cannot see our hearts. But in order to lead someone else to Christ, they need to see that we are serious about our faith. Does that make sense? That's why the scriptures teach here, by works was faith made perfect, mature. Now, some of us haven't been baptized, and we claim to be Christians. Some of us have never been faithful or in Bible reading, and all these are the little things that show you're a Christian. But if you're not doing it, then, you know, James is saying at the end, he says, faith without works is dead. James chapter 2, verse 25, which is not there. I can call myself a Christian, but if I have nothing to show for it, it's very doubtful. I've always remembered this illustration. If I put you in a courthouse with a judge and 12 jury. Okay? Would the judge and the people who are supposed to give a conclusion to you in this question, is there enough evidence to say that you are a Christian? Is there enough evidence to prove that you are a Christian in the court of law? Make sense? That's what James is talking about. Because there are many people, I'm a Christian. Well, the Bible says no. The judge will say, no, according to the law, the body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. When you smoke, but then you say it's okay, but then it confuses people about Christianity today. So faith without works is dead. So number one, God recognizes the works in the local church. And we're thankful for many people who serve God. But I want you to notice a second thing too. The Lord Jesus Christ was very fair in acknowledging that, no, this church is faithful, he's fervent. But then, the word nevertheless, you know what I mean by nevertheless? Nevertheless means, this is important, but not in the least, this is also important. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, nevertheless, I have something against you. Remember I told you it's very hard, or God is very slow to be angry? But it seems that the Lord Jesus Christ, looking at this very fervent church, looked at them and said, look, I've got something against you. When God has something against us, that is very serious. I don't know about you. If God is against us, it is very serious. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, what is first love? First love, what is first love? And then you can, if you study it, you in the Bible, first love is the time that when someone shared with you the gospel and God opened your heart and said, you mean God loved me so much that when I'm just still a sinner, when I'm still disobedient to my parents, when I was cursing and swearing, when I was with all those gangs, when I was doing all those things, and I was doing things behind my parents' back, I didn't want to obey God, my parents actually. And you mean when no one knew I was such a bad person, God knew he still loved me? Not only that, God loved me so much, he died for me on the cross. I don't know about you. And then after that, you mean all I need to do is to turn away from that sin? Yes, I will. I will. And I give my heart to Christ and obey the gospel. The gospel that says that if thou shalt believe in thy heart the Lord Jesus and shalt confess with thy lips, ye shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. You mean that's all? And at that time when, you know, when you trusted Christ and you know, it was such a wonderful thing that happened to your heart and you want to tell the whole world about it and you lived for God and you know, you were faithful and the glow of Christ was on your face and you know, people just cannot hold you back and you cannot just talk about Jesus all the time and was there a time that you had that first love? First love can be likened to the day you got married. Everything was nice and wonderful, right? No one is going to break up this union, right? A time that, oh, my wife is so pretty, my husband is so handsome. What happened to them now? You know, and you know, the day was so wonderful and your heart was so full of joy and peace and love and God filled your heart. And every time you read the Bible, like the song said, and the time when I loved the scriptures, they spoke to me daily. That's first love. The Ephesian church, when Paul started the church at Ephesus 30 years earlier, about AD 50 plus, the book of Revelation was written in AD 95. At that time, Jesus looked at the church and said, you guys are still faithful in all this, but nevertheless, I've got something against you. You have left your first love. You have walked away from what you knew was the love I had for you. You have walked away and you were doing things. Husband and wife sometimes, isn't it true that After a while, you get married, you do things because it's just routine. And we've lost that love. Most of you, some of you are not married, so you know. But you know, think of a good friend that you had. And you guys were close and you did a lot of things together. And then all of a sudden something happened, or he left or she left. Or then you don't kind of contact them anymore. And the next time you meet, it's like you become strangers. That love is gone. The friendship is gone. You know what Jesus said? I appreciate that you are still serving me. But I've got something against you. You're not doing it with your heart anymore. You're not doing it with your heart anymore. Why do you come to church? 来教会做什么? Why do you come to church? Some people are not even here. Why do you come to church? Is it to meet your friends? Is it to play? Is it to just hang out? The Lord Jesus was telling this church, and by the way, this is his church. It's still his people. You have left your first love. Thou hast left. The word left means to walk away from. The Lord Jesus Christ has never left where he was. He was still the savior of the church. He is still the lover of the church. He is still the carer of the church. He is still the protector of the church. And he said, hey, where's everyone? They are walking away. Not outwardly, but the Lord Jesus Christ, who sees everything, says, hey, you've left your first love. You see, the outward will come later. Because you know why the Lord Jesus Christ focused on living your first love? Because when the love is gone, very soon the works will be gone too. Does it make sense? When we choose to love God only outwardly, or say, I love God, but the things we do are outward, but we have never confronted ourselves and said, Lord, is my love right with you? Over time, your works will diminish. How do you keep our first love? Number one, you need to remember the counsel of Jesus Christ. You see, God doesn't point out our faults without giving us a solution, amen? God's like a doctor. He knows what's wrong, and he will tell you what to do right, how to get right. And so he said, nevertheless, you have left your first love. Then in verse 4, so in verse 5, he comes and tells you what we need to do. So how do we keep our first love? How do we actually keep our first love? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember. The word remember is the memory. Exercise your memory. Look back to the times. Remember, I taught you to love one another. You see, it is not what they were doing, it's how they were doing it. Remember Jesus spoke this in John chapter 13, verse 34? This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. What was the illustration Jesus gave to the disciples? Can anyone tell me? John chapter 13? When he told the disciples to do that, what did Jesus just did? He washed the feet of the disciples. Did you know that washing of feet is only reserved for slaves during those times? The Lord Jesus Christ did the lowest work for his own disciples, who were too proud to even wash the master's disciple. That's why Peter was resisting. Remember the passage? Jesus took the basin, he put the water, he put the towel, and he wanted to wash Peter's feet. Peter said, hey, cannot. How can a master wash a disciple's feet? You know what Jesus said? If I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. Christians, are you listening? Some of us don't want help from anyone. You know what that is? That's pride. Jesus taught us that when we serve one another, there is a giving and there is a taking. There is a giving and there's a taking. So when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, Peter resisted. But Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. Well, then Peter is an impulsive one. Said, well, in that case, because Peter had a love for Jesus Christ, he has a relationship. So, Lord, in that case, don't just wash my feet, wash my whole body. You know, he liked to swing to the other extreme. Then Jesus said, wait, steady. Huh? I don't have to wash your whole body, because if your whole body is clean, I guess I have to wash your feet, because you were just walking outside, so your feet is dirty. Peter got the idea. At the end of that passage, John chapter 13, Jesus told the people, do you know what I've done to you? Yeah? He says, I've washed your feet. And you know that this is reserved for slaves. And Jesus taught it, if I have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet too. In other words, based on that passage, if you cross over in your mind to Galatians 5:13, where Paul says, by love, serve one another. Not just serve one another, by love. Don't forget the first part. That is the problem with the church at Ephesus. That Jesus says you left your first love. When you serve others, you need to serve it with love. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, that God says, therefore, love your brethren fervently. When we love each other, it needs to be a boiling faith, really a boiling love, you know? It's like, whoa, you cannot stop me. I'm just giving you the love that God gave me. Number one, you need to remember the lost world. You know, as Christians, we can be so occupied with our own programs and all that, we forget that there are people dying and going to hell. Jesus came to die for the entire world. And he saved us. I was telling the people at prayer meeting and also at yesterday's prayer. Did you know that why God wants us to pray and fast is not just to save the world, it's to change us. We are the instruments of God's love in this world. Jesus has already died on the cross. And then he says, go ye therefore. But you know, because men are selfish, and so the Lord actually says, I want you to learn to pray and fast for someone else so that as you fast and pray, I can change you, then go and then help someone else. Prayer and fasting is for us, to change us. In Isaiah 58, I taught then, I hope you can make it a point, I will give you the list for the fasting and prayer times in our church. God wants to change us so that we can help someone else. If you don't know your maths formula, you cannot teach someone else. Agree? If someone says, hey, I'm very scared of my exam on Monday, I got maths, I'm very poor in maths. Then you say, hey, Asher, can you teach me? Then Asher usually she's very hardworking. Say, oh, of course I can teach you. Asher knows all his formulas. Why can Asher help someone else? Because he knows his formula. Yes? Okay? But if Asher doesn't know his formula, I also don't know. How in the world as Christians are we supposed to share the love of Jesus Christ when we don't love Jesus? When we have lost that love. You know, maybe the first thing we need to always do is to go back and love our families first. I mean, really, no, I'm not saying idolize your family. I'm saying love your family in the way that Jesus loves us. Sacrificially. I was telling the people during the Sunday Bible hour that, you know, it's interesting. Genuine, unconditional love of Christ for each other in a family has no expectations. Has no expectations. Because it's unconditional. Of course, naturally, we will have certain expectations. You know, we give ourselves expectations of someone else because we love that person. You know why we fervently serve God? Because we love Him. And we want to honor Him. We want to obey Him. But you know what? Our family's salvation, our family's Christian life, we need to be aware of all these things to love. But the only way we can love each other in the church, we can love the world, and we can love our family, is when we have received and we understood and we have understood and put in our hearts the love that Jesus Christ gave to us. There is no way we can love our family, the lost, and Christians in the right way. Because even sometimes Christians love each other in a prejudiced way. In other words, I love only a certain group of people because they smell nice, they go to nice places. I like the group of Christians, but this group, yeah, I don't like that. Did you know that it's sin? I was just reading today in the book of James. When you have love with prejudice to people, ye commit sin. It's like, okay. Because Jesus wants to teach us to love everyone. Because the love of Jesus Christ is so wide. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Unless you are loving in Christ, That's why Jesus says, you've left your first love. You've forgotten what it meant. You forgot, you know how to actually get back the love of God. You need to go back to Calvary. You need to remember what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. A Christian who don't remember Calvary on a daily basis will slowly become backslided. You will love the things of this world. You will love others more than you will love yourself more than others. You will become selfish because you forget what Jesus Christ has done for us. The Lord, did you realize when the Lord hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For us, we need to be at the bottom of the cross, looking up and say, God, how can you forgive me? But Jesus says, I forgive you because I love you. But God commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christians, I beg you to go to the cross daily. We've forgotten what Jesus has done for us. That is why we can lose our first love with Jesus. That's why Christians don't see a point to read the Bibles anymore. That's why some Christians are okay to continue in sin. No. We've got to come back. We've got to go to Calvary. We've got to remember the day when Jesus was hanging on the cross and the entire sun was blotted out in darkness and there was earthquake and there were people who shuddered. And Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken? We've got to remember Calvary. Because if you don't remember Calvary, you will lose your first love. The money, the careers, the education of this world will be so much more attractive unless you hear the small, still voice of your Savior in your heart whispering, John chapter 20, verse 15, 21, verse 15. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? As we begin 2019, I want to whisper that on behalf of our Savior. Our Savior from the Word of God told us, remember Simon Peter betrayed Jesus? Remember? And what did Jesus say to Simon Peter? Do you love me? Do you love me? You know when, can I say this for believers? When God actually whispers that, he actually knows that you love him. If you are genuinely turned away from your sin to Christ. You know, Simon Peter was very broken. God, remember what Simon Peter said? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. As we begin 2019, is it possible God is whispering to us, do you love me? Do you love me? Because Jesus says, you have left your first love. And that was a case God was bringing against the church. But in order to keep our first love, we need to remember what Jesus taught us. But most of all, remember Calvary. Remember Calvary. But the second thing, how do we remember, therefore, from whence thou first? Firstly, remember. Number two, you need to repent and do the first works. Repent and do the first. What does repentance mean? Now, repentance is a big word. Some people don't preach repentance anymore. And so just believe in Jesus, you go to heaven. That's not salvation, for your information. Jesus says, except ye repent, ye will likewise perish. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. Does that make sense? Do I have a coin? No, I don't have a coin. You have a coin, repentance and faith. Repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. Okay, for a person to come to Christ, there must be repentance from sin and a turning to Christ for salvation. Okay, but as a believer in Christ, God wants us to realize that, hey, when we are weak, we need to change our mind and turn back. Repent and do the first work. Repentance is not looking at the situation and wanting a change. Repentance is looking at God that we have offended him and we want to be reconciled to him. That's repentance. A person will say, it is very easy to change your mind when you've been caught by the police. Okay, I won't do it again, right? People always do that. When they are caught, then they say, oh, sorry, 我不要做了, I won't do it again. And you know what children always do with their parents? Sorry, mama, I won't do it again. You know, parents, what you need to do? Still spank them. So the child will know to learn to not do it before that. Amen. Because I can guarantee you, many people, when they stand before the Lord Jesus at the great white throne, say, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent now. You know what Jesus is going to say? I'm sorry, that's too late. You had your chance. There was one man, a Christian. He was a deacon of a Baptist church. He ignorantly, in Singapore many years ago, actually allowed some foreign workers to stay in his house. He rented out to them. But he didn't check whether or not they had proper, valid pass. Okay? And then it was discovered, and he was actually brought to court. He's a deacon, a Baptist deacon from a church. He stood there in the... He said, "I'm sorry, Your Honor, I should have checked better." You know what the judge says? The court is not a place to forgive. It's a place for judgment. He was sentenced to 9 months in prison. Tough, right? When you stand before the King of Kings, if you're not a Christian today, you have no plea before the God who knows everything. But for a Christian, Jesus Christ has paid for your sin. But yet Jesus still tells this church to repent and turn. Repentance is an entire change of not just your mindset, but a mindset that leads. That's why repent and do the first works. That's related. Repentance without works is just talk. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But you are not changed. Repentance without works is just talk. Because for repentance to happen, the person changes his life 180 degrees, not 360 degrees. You end up in the same place. It's 180 degrees. You are saying, "God, I'm going this way, but you told me it's wrong. I'm going that way," 180 degrees. Repentance is that. In other words, those of you who genuinely repent from your sin, you will get rid of things in your life you know you're not supposed to read, not supposed to listen to. You will get rid of internet sites that you have been going to, the pornography perhaps. This is very rampant among young people. And if you are secretly, you can secretly enjoy that, you need to give that up in repentance, because if you continue in that, there's no repentance. Repentance means I see pornography from God's perspective and God hates that and I'm walking away from that. God tells the church at Ephesus, turn back, turn back. Repent and do the first works. Go back to what is right. Go do the first works. What are the first works? Baptism? Things that you knew you wanted to do. And you know, when I first became a Christian, and many of us do, I want to be in church because they're all my godly Christian friends. I want to read the Bible because that's where God speaks to me. I want to pray because that's where I speak to God. I want to tell other people because God just saved me. I want to be baptized because I want to be obedient. I want to serve because Jesus did so much for me. That's the first works. Repent. Therefore, and do the first works. Go back. Do you know when you repent, you love your family more? When you repent, you love your family more. Why? Because you learn the love of Jesus Christ. Repent and do the first. God did give a warning. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The church is made up of an assembly of people. Right? The church is not the building. This is Woodlands 11, 1042. That's the building. The church is the people. And when the Lord Jesus Christ gives the admonition from the pastor to the church members, every one of us are little candles. But you know, thank God, as believers in Jesus Christ, when you've trusted Christ, you are eternally saved. That's what the scriptures teach. We're going to be going through that probably in the course of the year. But you know, the church doesn't have eternal security. Because when the church reaches a stage, Jesus actually said, "Or else I will come unto thee quickly and I will remove your candlestick." In other words, I will not allow Ambassador Baptist Church to be the light in the north anymore. Thank God we're still the light now. Thank God people are still coming. Thank God we are able to share with people the gospel on a daily basis. People are getting blessed. People, and you know what? It's not our work. It's all God's work. But you know what? If we don't take heed, if we are walking away from the Lord individually, you know what happens? Over time, listen, if you are very hot, I've been to Shanghai one time, and Shanghai can go down at 9 degrees. Sometimes even lower. You know, I can be warm-blooded. But you know what? In the cold environment, after a while, I can get cold. Right? You know, can I encourage you to go back to the Lord to keep your heart warm for God? Because if our assembly is a group of cold people, after a while, God says, "Look, Ambassador Baptist Church is just a social club.
don't need him anymore.
I want to challenge us to keep your first love. Remember Calvary. This whole year, if there's nothing you remember from this first message, you just remember this. Pastor encouraged me to always look back to the cross. Because when you look back to the cross, you will not continue in sin. You will not continue in the way you live your life. You cannot chase the things of this world and love a Christ who died, a Jesus who was rejected by this world. How can we love the world when they rejected Christ? It's not possible. The three groups of people as we close, number one, God may be speaking to professing believers who do not have any works to show for their faith. God may be talking to believers who are serving, they need to take heed to the Lord's warning. Can I say this? When the Lord Jesus Christ said that, he's not saying because he says, I've someone against you, he's not, I'm going to come and get you. No. He's pleading with the church, look, you guys are doing well, but this area you need to correct. This word tells us to focus on the positive. Jesus knows if you focus on the positive without dealing with the negative will take down the positive. Human life is like that because the mystery of iniquity doth already work. When you allow sin to continue, it will destroy. In 1984, the Hotel New World collapsed in Singapore because the engineer who did the frame was not qualified, number one. Number two, he actually cut corners. That's why, as a result, I think more than 20 people died. Does that make sense? And then the Lord is speaking to the unbelievers, if you have not trusted Christ, you need to repent and turn from your sin. I say, if you don't remember anything, I believe the Lord just wants us to remember to go back to the cross. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious word that speaks to us. I ask you, Lord, to help us to remember Calvary. Lord, for some who may have left the first love, I pray that you touch their hearts, Lord. Not to start 2019 on the wrong foot. Lord, all these are human things, but the Holy Spirit needs to speak to our hearts. Lord, you say, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. Thou hast left thy first love. Lord, I've told your people, work in my heart as pastor, work in all the people's hearts, Lord. And Lord, they will come back to you in this cold world, this sinful world that don't love Jesus, that rejects whatever Jesus says. Lord, I pray that we will turn back to the cross because it was at the cross that we saw the light. It was at the cross that we saw the love of Jesus Christ manifested. It was at the cross that our sins were forgiven when the blood was shed. So we thank you. Pray, Lord, that you continue to help us to walk this life of faith. And Lord, if there's someone who have never trusted Christ, I ask you to bring them to a place of salvation. Well, thank you, Lord. Bless this day and thank you for all that you're going to do for us this year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.